Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly married duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride.
Or for part tours.
We are back for part tours. Yes. My throat is still recovering, clearly. But thank you for coming back. If you haven't heard part two, stop what you're doing and go listen to part two. And then come back and listen. Part one. Listen to part one and then come back and listen to part two. Okay. Are you ready to
Let's jump in.
Yeah. Cause I know you're eager. There's a lot of stuff you haven't learned yet.
Once again, everyone hates when we do these part twos.
Don't hate
but then
me.
They all enjoy the second part.
I know.
You guys want the details. You
guys
want the nitty gritty.
You guys want the answers.
This is what we're
answers.
Here for.
Yes. So, I'm also here to spook Tom. So if you guys have any episode topics you want us
here
to cover
that my lines.
Might scare Tom, I think that'll be fun. You do
you
the
can
scary
send
stories.
Them to MacabreMondaysPodcast@gmail.com or head over to MacabreMondays.com.
This is why I stole your line.
You know what?
No, I'm
you
joking.
Guys can go to our website, submit
yes.
your story. It
or
might just
socials.
Be featured on an upcoming listener episode.
Yes, or on socials. Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's jump right into it. Part two.
Boom, bada bing.
So where we left off,
she's literally been doing everything her mom has ever told her.
And she's
so
being,
of course, the minute she gets an ounce
right.
of I can try to be free.
Right.
You know?
Right. And at this point, I feel she's not I wouldn't even consider this teenage rebellion or anything because she just has never had a life. Yeah. So it's hard to even
it's her
pivot
trying
to, that.
To experience life.
Right. And she's being pretty much forced into all these medical procedures and all that. Now, over the next few months, their messages start becoming a lot darker, more desperate, more wow. Gypsy has already confided in Nick about Dee Dee's control and the fact that she's like, I can't do anything.
Treating her terribly.
She's also apparently also physically abusing her at some points for punishments if she's not listening. And if I'm not wrong, I think when she was home, she would walk around. So I'm not entirely sure. I think it sounds like her mom would tell her when she should be in a wheelchair, when she shouldn't, kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm interested to find out if we ever hear about the story of why she was allowed to walk around or how her mom convinced her at home.
Yeah.
Oh, you can walk around at home, but only for this long.
I don't think it was a rule. I think it was just something. I don't really know per se on that one. She did write a memoir though.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm curious to kind of hear about that. But yes, I know that's actually a good question because I also thought the same thing. I was like, tell me. She ends up telling him, you know, I need a way out. Like, she's like, I just can't do this anymore. And Nick ends up offering her one. He said that he'd kill Dee Dee for her, that he'd do it for her, that he didn't care what it took. And at first, it seemed like Gypsy did resist, but then she kind of started entertaining it and she actually planned it. So he offered, and she planned.
She said
it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the blueprint of how we're doing this.
So she ends up, they map it out, right? So this is how the night's going to go. Trigger warning moving forward. We are now hopping into red zone area, where we will be talking about the crime scene. So trigger warning. Okay, together they map it out. Down to the night. Down to the clothes he's going to wear and how she's going to leave the back door unlocked. She tells him, you'll have to do it. I can't watch. I can't watch. I can't hear it. And Nick replies to her, when it's over, you'll finally be free. Now, when I mentioned It's hard to know when the sexual fantasies they had stopped and started was because of some of the text messages that they sent each other.
During this time?
Yes. Damn. Right. Yeah. Right before or leading up to it sounded like this.
Very similar.
Verbatim. I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah, because I found some of them online. For motivation's sake, bring your A game, hon. This is life with me on the line. That's what Gypsy said to Nick, urging him forward to just days before they were planning on murdering her mom. But when he gets you from the bathroom, I suggest you are naked when he sees you after the deed. That's from Nick.
Damn, that literally sounds like...
Yeah, it sounds like... I don't know where you're...
The way that I would interpret that is, oh, hey, once you're done killing, like, once Victor is done killing your mom, you better be in your bedroom ready for me. You can't tell if that's or if that's actually then still talking about the murder.
You're right. You're so right. Yeah. I see. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Dude,
how I was
wild.
Thinking it, but differently. Yeah. And so that's why I mentioned it and I flagged it earlier because I'm like, it's kind of hard when you see all these moving parts of the case and the story, because I don't know, it's hard to see a difference there. Finish her no matter what, you'll enjoy it. Now it's June 10th of 2015. We're still in Springfield, Missouri, right? We're at the Pink Bubblegum House.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger warning again. The only reason why I mentioned it before again is because I'm going to mention it again now. Dee Dee at this point is off to sleep. She's got the television on. She has no idea what's about to happen. Nick Godejohn arrives in town again, but this time with the plan that they have set in motion. Gypsy gives him her address and she tells him which door is going to be unlocked. And now, while her mother is laying asleep, while Dee Dee is sleeping, Gypsy is waiting quietly in her room, waiting for Nick to show up. Nick ends up texting her when he's outside and he's like, "You ready?" And she's like, "Yes." Nick ends up slipping through the side door that she leaves unlocked, wearing dark clothes. Gypsy hands him the murder weapon.
Oh, shit.
A large serrated knife that she's hidden somewhere in the house. She also hands him duct tape and gloves, latex gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him, you know, she's in there in her room, you know what to do. And then Gypsy goes and hides in the bathroom and she covers her ears. Yeah, she covers her ears because she doesn't want to hear her mother dying, or not even dying.
Well, yeah.
Being murdered.
Being murdered.
Yes. But she also didn't feel like she could stop it. Inside the bedroom, Dee Dee was asleep in her pink nightgown and the walls were filled. No joke. Like, her house is filled. It kind of feels a little hoardery.
Okay.
So it seems like everything that was donated, like they kept everything.
They just kept everything. Damn.
Yeah. So it's just, but in Dee Dee's room,
it's a lot of like knickknacks.
Yeah. Knickknacks, like piles of objects, a lot of stuffed animals they had in the house because of, Gypsy loved stuffed animals. And that was a big gift that she always got.
Did they get a BOGO on the exterior paint color?
I have no idea. No, I think that's like purple.
It's
you know?
A little darker.
It's kind of similar. Yeah. Yeah. But in Dee Dee's room, I mean, her room was covered with photos of Gypsy. She had stuffed animals as well. She had pill bottles everywhere. When Nick comes in, that's when he attacks. He pounces on her while she's sleeping. She's sleeping face down. So she's on her stomach. And she wakes up from the first stab, of course. Yeah, and she screamed and she fought. Nick stabs her 17 times.
Holy shit.
Yes, that's including strikes to the back, the neck, and the arms.
Damn.
Yeah. There's reports that said that she did try to fight back or tried grabbing at him or clawing at the sheets, but it was no use because of how he was like, I mean, 17 times, that's a lot.
That's a
lot. Don't do it. One expert actually noted how close Nick came to severing her spinal cord. That's insane because that shows you both strength of a blow and you got to be mad.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have some type of rage because people, I mean, in the movies, it seems like it's easy to stab someone.
Yeah.
But from everything that I've researched from other, not that I've researched I'm just stating the cases. Yeah.
I think it's Forged in Fire or something like that. I'm a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
It's the guys on History Channel.
Yeah.
And it's all blacksmiths. It's a competition where they'll make swords and it's like the last competition's always, will it kill?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And you'll watch these guys make sharp-ass Damascus swords that should be so freaking sharp. or a katana, and they'll cut,
mm-hmm.
and it'll bend the blade.
Wow.
And that's on what's supposed to replicate a human body or something.
Oh, yes.
And the minute it hits bone or even gets close to some harder flesh, it'll just bend the blade, and sometimes it snaps. So that is insane.
Right, right. Oh, that's great. That's a great comparison. Yeah, because that's so true, for sure. And I even think about Mythbusters. Every time that they use those molded... the pig too, because whatever's closest to human.
I think it's
either
pigs
or.
And then the molds too.
Yeah, the mold clay. I don't know what it is. It's gelatin of some sort. Yes. But
Bruce
that's...
Buster or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I forgot. Man, what a good show. But yeah, they pretty much... He was so rageful that he almost severed her spinal cord.
That's wild.
That's insane. That is insane. She bleeds out within minutes. But when it was happening, she did wake up screaming, and she reportedly was calling out for Gypsy, saying like, Gypsy, Gypsy.
Damn.
Yes. Several times amidst her final moments. So those screams were just being interrupted by the stabs that Nick was doing. Gypsy does later recall like hearing a final scream and then silence falls. So that just sounds so eerie.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And I feel too, obviously, Dee Dee was not a perfect person, but no one deserves to go out like that. That's horrible.
That's fucked up.
But again, this is what ends up playing into the complication of all the stories.
Everything that leads up to it. Yeah.
Yes. Now, when it was over, Nick called for Gypsy and they met in her room. And she later admitted that her reaction when he was done wasn't what people might expect. She had said, "I felt relieved, like a burden had been lifted, but I also felt sick. I had just helped kill my mother." They also, her and Nick, end up having sex that night in her bedroom while Dee Dee's body lay murdered in the next room right next to Gypsy's room. Yes.
Which, I mean, again, that feeds into his whole persona of the Victor guy and
everything.
And
she's playing Ruby. So it's like, it's also blending because you just, this was a fantasy, but now you guys made it a reality.
And it also seems like with Gypsy, she almost struggles with fact and fiction.
For sure. I mean, yeah, definitely. And him too, if he has his mental illness. Yeah.
He definitely does.
Yeah, because he was diagnosed with that. Now, when this happened, Gypsy ends up packing a bag. She ends up packing her favorite clothes. She packs some stuffed animals and the wig that Dee Dee had given her.
Mm-hmm.
They end up taking about $4,000 in cash from a safe that Dee Dee kept inside the house. They grabbed the knife, they cleaned up what they could, and they left the body behind. Now, when they walked out of that house, they really were planning on never looking back. They actually mailed the murder weapon to Nick's house.
Yes.
Trying to kind of separate them from the evidence, thinking that that wouldn't get flagged. And a serrated knife at that. Yes. So after leaving Springfield, they stayed at a motel for a few days near town just before heading back to Nick's house where they were planning on living together. He also lives in the attic of his family's home, so he doesn't live alone.
Yeah.
They were seen on security cameras purchasing snacks and supplies. And during that time, the infamous Facebook post from Dee Dee's account happened. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. Gypsy actually logs into Dee Dee's shared Facebook page with her and writes a post trying to sound like a hacker, or it was like a confession of some sort.
Okay.
She writes, "That bitch is dead." And in the comments, she adds, "I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud. LOL.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Which to me, I'm like, girl.
Lead them right fucking to you.
Well, that and also.
But also, what the fuck? How'd you learn to write like that?
Right. To me, I'm like, where else have you been, I don't know, frequenting? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. But maybe, who knows? Maybe that's also how.
Right.
Victor
well, just
talks.
What she was. Yeah. And she's also trying to make it sound like someone else is the one that did it. But she's trying to play it off. But still, my goodness, like the imagination she has at this point
is
running
wild.
Yes. Now, it's clearly meant to throw people off, like you said. But the fact that they did that actually backfires on them because the minute friends and neighbors saw that post, because you got to think about it. Hundreds of people are probably following their page, if not thousands, because they know about her story.
Left and right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So when they saw that, they were like, what the fuck?
Somebody needs to go to that fucking house.
Yes. They called the police. They called Gypsy's family and no one had heard from her or Dee Dee in days. So obviously that's a huge red flag. What's going on? Mommy dearest and daughter Dearest is
both
they're
dead
missing
and, or missing.
Yeah, or missing. Who? Yeah, both dead. They don't know what the hell this Facebook post was about. So when they end up showing, the police end up showing up at the house, they find Dee Dee's body dead, face down in the bed, covered in a white sheet, and she was murdered. And Gypsy was gone. So at this time, everyone now is really worried about Gypsy because they're all thinking whoever murdered Dee Dee has probably kidnapped Gypsy. She can't walk. She can't eat. She needs her medicine. She's going to break. She's going to die.
She's going to be basically dead.
Yes.
Child eventually too.
Exactly. And at the time we're all thinking she's 14. So she's a kid. She's a kid. Yes. Police ended up using IP tracking to follow the Facebook post. Exactly what you were mentioning.
Oh Lord.
Yes. Your mind always goes to the techie route. Very smart, baby, because it's really hard to not leave a trail nowadays. And that's exactly what led them to Wisconsin. Right to Nick go to John's house.
Hmm.
Yeah. So when the police arrived, Gypsy and Nick were inside in the attic because he lives in the attic. And they were arrested on the spot at Nick's home. Neither of them resisted to be arrested. They just...
Of course not.
Yeah. They surrendered quietly and were taken into custody for murder and armed criminal action. Now, that revelation, that's going to stun everyone that knows about her. Because, one, yay, she's found. She's okay. Well, first off, damn, what the hell happened? Dee Dee was murdered.
Yeah.
Gypsy's missing. Yay, she's found. Wait, what? She's not as sick as...
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of opening books and closing other
and
ones.
And it's unbelievable.
A lot of crazy shit that just got spilled the
right
fuck out.
Now this, like, this, the poster mom and the poster child for inspiration and hope and strength and resilience. Now that house, like, it's a crime scene.
Yeah.
Crazy. Now it was that moment that detectives, when they brought her in for interrogation, they began asking themselves questions that obviously nobody could explain because what do you mean?
Yeah.
How are you walking? Where's your feeding tube? What's going on? Don't you need to eat? You look kind of healthy somewhat, which is weird.
Why is your hair growing?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. And that night during initial questioning, Gypsy ends up telling the officer something that she pretty much admits. She says, I can walk. I'm not sick and I've never been sick. So she admits it, and the officer ends up pausing and he asks her again, like, what do you mean? And she repeats it, but this time more clearly. She says, my mother made me pretend for years. So now imagine everybody else. What's going on?
Yeah.
We know a lot, though, thus far. We know a lot more than in real time when they're trying to figure this out. So at this point, and she even, I mean, the thing is, in the police interrogation, she lies. She says, oh, they were like, do you know what happened to your mother? She's like, no, what do you mean? Is she okay? Is she at home? And yeah, she clearly butt out lies to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can figure that out because she ends up admitting it. She ends up crying. And she's like, but it was crazy because they ask her, oh, your mother was found dead, was found stuff. She's like, wait. What?
I remember seeing those videos of that.
She's like shocked. She starts crying. And the thing that sucks, and I'm like, girl, psycho behavior, right? But the other thing too that I've seen, because I've seen so many people ping pong back and forth about, well, she still was a part of the murder. And other people were saying, like, well, because she's a liar and all that stuff. And she also lied there. She's also been taught to lie her whole life.
Yeah, that's all she's ever seen.
Right. If she's in trouble, she's going to lie. So, I mean, don't make it right. Not saying that. But you know what I mean? That's exactly.
You also
I'm just gotta saying
see
exactly
what the environment was that person was brought up in.
Right. So from there, it just began to unravel. And she just started saying the whole truth. And she's like, I'm just going to say everything that happened now. Back in Missouri, news obviously is breaking like wildfire. My throat is killing me. The local community that was there for them from the jump, that donated all that time, that money, that compassion, were clearly blindsided. I mean, they're like, damn. They're probably like, we built a goddamn wheelchair ramp
for somebody that didn't even need it.
Are you kidding me? Seriously. They were all delivering meals. They were spending money out of their pockets, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
to
all
help
of them,
out
but
this whole family.
Yeah, even there's, you never know what anybody's going through. So if somebody even donates you $5, at least it's $5, right? That helps you
something.
Feed you. Right, exactly. And you took that. You took that saying, yeah, I needed that, right? Now, they were starting to learn that it's all been fake, that Gypsy was never terminal and that wheelchair was a prop and still. But so here's the thing, because now we're going to get into the fact of like the sympathy of it just didn't fade, because the more people learned about what exactly
what
happened.
What she was going through.
Yes. What Dee Dee had done to her, the more the public started, like, their outrage started to begin to shift. Investigators ended up obtaining Gypsy's medical records because Dee Dee would walk around everywhere with a binder with everything that she had of hers. And what they ended up finding was a chaotic web of exaggerated diagnoses, doctor shopping.
I can't imagine the amount of hours as a detective that I would have had to spend combing through all these fucking medical records. Like, holy fucking shit, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that's so true. I mean, years.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to, and you can't miss.
Switching this doctor. Yeah. Wait, how old is she actually? Oh.
Yeah,
here's
what
another
she,
turn.
She said that here, and then she said that over there, and what?
But
and,
this doctor said this,
yeah.
And what?
And having to call all these witnesses and ask, hey, did you, you know, what did you say here? What did you think? Was it weird? Yeah, no, that's a lot of work.
And that's a lot of doctor's offices. I'm assuming they also had to get multiple different warrants to
probably,
get medical records
of the HIPAA.
Released.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. You also got to think about the prescriptions that she's getting. That's I'm telling you, when they went to her house, there's photos where the cabinet stocked with medicine, pills of all types. So I can only imagine.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's a really good point, because the detectives out here, it's not that simple. It's just, let's solve a case.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Some of the doctors had started suspecting things years earlier, like Dr. Bernardo Flasterstein even noted that Munchausen by proxy and Gypsy's chart as early as 2007. He writes in the chart, he notes, there's no reason this child should be in a wheelchair. Nobody believed him.
Because again, by the time somebody would catch on, gone.
I know. Well, exactly. And it reminds me of that sound. Is it a TikTok sound? I fucking knew it.
Oh, yes.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I sounded super like faint. I sound like a ghost.
Yeah. Ooh. You are pushing as hard as you can.
Now, among the many unnecessary medical procedures that Gypsy endured, one of the most painful and consequential ones was the surgical removal of her salivary glands.
What?
Yeah, so that's the that's literally.
Yeah, I know what the fuck they are, but what?
Yep, she was forced to drool for appointments because Dee Dee had used numbing agents like Orajel on her gums so that she would complain of excessive drooling to doctors.
Huh.
And when because I guess Botox injections is one of the treatments, when that failed to control the perceived these fake symptoms, the glands were surgically removed behind her neck.
Dude, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. This is insane.
Yep. And Gypsy ended up later saying that procedure was the most excruciating out of all the ones that she had to do, because she also said that she had a severe reaction from the anesthesia during the surgery, and that she still continues to suffer from thick saliva and chronic throat clearing.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And it's also a thing, because people that know of her, when she talks, she has to like lip smack a lot, or she kind of has to swallow or something. People get so annoyed with her on socials and everything. And I'm like, my goodness. But anyways, now this is just clearly a daily reminder of everything else that she went. And this is permanent. Like, she can't do anything about that. It's not like they could put her salivary glands back. This is it. Now, that single surgery only scratched the surface, because over the years, Gypsy undergoes around 30 procedures.
Damn.
30 procedures, including the feeding tube that they had that they inserted that she never needed, ear tubes for supposedly chronic ear infections that she never needed, muscle biopsies and eye surgeries
that she didn't need,
and the extraction of most of her front teeth that they ended up having to replace with a bridge later on because she had rot from the medications and the absence of saliva.
That's fucking insane.
And multiple rounds of anesthesia, which, I mean, anesthesia is hard on your body. It's hard on your
sucks.
Body. There's some people that do well with it, but there's others that it's horrible. And she already had this reaction with them. Now, initially in the news headlines, labeled Gypsy as a killer. But within days, the tone kind of began to change, because as they were uncovering more about the years of abuse that she had, and pretty much she was living in a prison.
Yeah.
The story kind of changed, and they were not seeing her that way.
They were seeing her as a victim.
Yeah, as a prisoner, as a victim, and just pretty much a proxy for Dee Dee. And now Nick, they kind of shift the focus to Nick as him being the killer narrative instead. Even though she did have a big part in this, huge part in this, the truth was just a lot more complicated than we all knew at the time, like you said.
Yeah.
Now, this is another part that I need to mention, because it is insane. For years, Dee Dee had isolated herself from extended family, right? So after all this occurred, her relatives started speaking out. Her father and stepmother gave interviews saying that Dee Dee had actually always been very manipulative, even as a teen. And some family members believed that she actually had poisoned her own mother years prior.
Damn. Yeah. That is insane.
Because there was mysterious health issues, and she her mom declined so rapidly when Dee Dee was the role as her Dee Dee was the caretaker.
That's insane.
Yes, Dee Dee was her caretaker.
I mean, it's the same MO.
Yeah, no, if you think about it, she's just doing the same thing. And apparently she also didn't have such a good relationship with her own mother. So I'm like, this is kind of spinning off of each other.
History.
Yeah, you're repeating history. You can't change if nothing changes. So, but no charges were ever brought on that, but because there was no concrete evidence, but
yeah,
everyone had their big suspicions because they're like, that's just weird. And then this happens. It's kind of,
yeah,
they even one of the relatives told the press, "We always knew Dee Dee wasn't right, but we never thought it would end like this," which
that's insane.
I mean, it is. Who the hell would ever even think that? Not me.
No.
Suddenly, now it's everywhere, right? Dateline, 2020, Dr. Phil, HBO, BuzzFeed, everything you can think of, national news.
Everyone gypsies was covering everywhere. It.
Yes, everyone wanted to cover it. Because now it's not just a murder. It's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
With thick, thick layers. Gypsy's not the sick girl anymore. Now, the public wanted answers, and the justice system wants accountability. And Gypsy Rose Blanchard now stood at the center of a murder case, which shocked so many people in the community that knew her and knew of her, because the last time they saw her, she was sick and in a wheelchair and couldn't walk.
So how is she going to commit a murder?
And when they and they're watching this live, when she's walking into the court, she's walking into court and they're like, they didn't know about all this stuff yet.
Because obviously nothing's been released on that.
Right, right. And so when they saw her walk in, they were flabbergasted. They're like,
as
what?
Anyone would be.
For real, exactly. And also they probably felt the wool was pulled over their hand.
Yeah. The veil?
The veil. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. Prosecutors had a very difficult decision to make, right? Because like I said, on one hand, Gypsy did orchestrate the murder of her own mom, right? We know that. But on the other hand, She had clearly a victim of that abuse. So it doesn't make it right or better, but I just have to mention that it makes it complicated.
Yeah.
Makes it complicated.
Because now it's almost, well, what's at play?
Right, yeah. Right. And it's like, if you think about it, I mean, if you're just going by the book, yes, just send her to life or whatever the amount is for that sentence. But right, it just makes it complicated. Now, District Attorney Dan Patterson said publicly, "This one is the most extraordinary and complicated cases we've ever seen. There's no manual for this kind of thing." The state charged Gypsy with second degree murder, but they offered a plea deal. They offered a plea deal and she accepted. In July of 2016, Gypsy pled guilty to the reduced charge in exchange for a 10-year prison sentence and that she would be eligible for parole after 8 years served.
Okay.
So she ends up taking it. During the sentencing, the judge tells her, "While what you did was wrong, it's clear you were desperate. You were manipulated, abused, controlled. You are not the same as most offenders I see in this courtroom."
Yeah, because obviously the judge, to me, anyone that hears this case, you have both sides of it. Of you still need to understand and have to understand how wrong this was.
Right. You should still serve time.
But at the same time, compared to most people that are sitting in this exact same situation of why they're here for trial, they're probably their motives and everything is way different.
Yeah.
From what she just endured for how many freaking years?
Her whole life since she was born. Yeah, seriously. No, that's so true. And that's the thing, because when authorities first interviewed Gypsy and Nick, their room, I mean, it was so, like, if you see the videos, it's just so heavy with disbelief, because Gypsy's just sitting around the detectives and just calmly talking and just saying, you know, "I didn't kill her, but I did ask him to do it." I mean, now, before she's saying she had nothing to do with it. She goes on to explain that she had been planning her escape from her mother for over a year and that Nick was the only one who offered to help her. Nick, in his own interview, gave a disturbing detail and he said, "She asked me to prove my love for her, and so I did." And he later added, "I feel like I'm a bad guy because I hurt someone, but I was just doing what she wanted. I did it for love." So both of their realities are
Very off.
Now, those statements obviously paint this like very tragic picture of everything going on. So it's fully under, it's fully hard to understand who's a victim and who's the villain, because it's just complicated. Now, for Nick, he didn't really get the same leniency in his trial. He was charged with first degree murder and armed criminal action.
Damn.
Yeah. And his trial began in 2018, and it painted a very disturbing picture of obsession, of delusion, and detachment from reality.
Yeah.
Now, the prosecutors highlighted Nick's online messages with Gypsy and the fantasies that he was having and the chilling confessions that he gave the police. And Nick's defense team tried to argue that he had diminished capacity, because they actually brought in mental health experts who testified that Nick did have autism spectrum disorder and trouble understanding social norms. So it is proven, like, he does have a mental illness, right? He's struggling. Yeah, he's not just making it up as he goes either, because a lot of murderers try to do that. Yeah. Gypsy ends up even taking the stand during his trial and testifying on his behalf.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and she admits and tells the court that it was her idea, because they ask her, so was this your idea? And she said, yes, it was my idea.
Which is true.
Yeah, and valid. And she, that's one of the things that she says now, or she said for a while, because there's also there's a docuseries where it's like her life in prison, like life after lockup or something.
Yeah.
And she has interviews while she's in prison, and she says, like, I just don't lie anymore. I'm just going to be honest. So she does say that, but it's hard because you know, she's lied for a very long time. But again, it's so complicated.
There's a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
There's a lot at play there. Now, she admitted to all that, and that she really felt that there was the only way out was to kill her, and Nick offered, and she took the help. Now, despite her testimony, because you would think that would help, their jury was not convinced. They actually did find Nick guilty of first degree murder and sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole, plus an additional 25 years for the weapons charge.
Holy shit.
Yes. And that's where then I'm like, I just don't know. It's a lot of people question the fairness of it. And I do too, because Gypsy gets 10 years, a plea deal, 10 to 8.
Yeah. And then he's.
And he has a mental. Yeah. Not saying one is right, one is wrong, but just saying, looking at the facts and the story behind it.
And what? Yeah.
Not saying that he needs to be out there. He did murder someone. There is something up.
Yes.
Right. We do know he has that. But again, he should serve time. But damn, I just thought,
Wild.
It just, I think that was like his whole life, I think, was crazy. Which, honestly, a lot of people online, it's a stirred up heavy debate that people talk about, especially with the disability advocates and legal experts, because they feel, well, that's what the whole point of.
Yeah.
Right. And like, and everything was showing that he was mentally disabled. But again, I wasn't there at the courtroom. There could have been a lot more evidence that we didn't see, that the jury was like, you know, I'm convinced, you know. So really, So really, in reality, he had a trial.
To be honest, some of the text could have also been.
Right. Yeah. Very true. Where, again, you don't know where's the fantasy and where's the reality. And how do I know that this is not how you actually think?
It's tough.
Now, while behind bars, Gypsy, she's doing interviews, she's sending letters, and eventually in the HBO documentary, Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, which everyone should go watch, it's really good. It's a documentary, though. The Act, the one that I mentioned earlier, is more of a drama series. Mm-hmm. Hulu did an amazing job on that. But anyways, it really just kind of paints you a picture of how it happened and how it played out. It's crazy. It's just freaking crazy. But in the prison interviews, she was very honest. She was very raw. And sometimes it was a little unsettlingly calm, but it's kind of hard. I don't know what I would even be expecting. But, you know, I mean, she's trying to move on with her life. But I don't know. Now, in one interview, she said, I feel freer in prison than I ever did living with my mom. And that's really, really strong.
I was going to say that, I think, because I remember the interviews after when she came out. And that, to me, is truly where you can hear the change in how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, if you guys watch the documentaries, you can also see the difference between her interrogations and how she talks and how now. She holds herself versus now. She is a lot more, I don't want to say
grown.
Can just say yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
It almost seems like she is a lot more educated, even though there's not a huge difference. It's just now she's not on all these different pills that are impacting her, both not just mentally, but physically and everything else. And you can see that difference. Yeah, it's drastic.
And she's got the freedom now to learn whatever she wants, because she actually ends up, during her time in prison, she becomes like the model inmate. And she earns her GED and she takes classes and she stays out of troubles. And she's even talked about, if someone tells me to do something, I'm just going to do it because I'm just going to follow my orders. That's just what it is. On December 28th of 2023, just 2 years ago, almost 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard walks free after serving just over 8 years of her 10-year sentence. And now she is 32 years old.
That's still insane.
Yeah, it's insane because she goes in, I think, well, she gets sentenced in 2016. Now she's 32 years old, and her first words outside of prison were, "I'm ready to start living."
Man.
Yeah.
I still remember, because you and I were living together. I think we were in Florida.
Yes, we were. Remember I announced it?
Yes.
I was like, Gypsy Rose is getting out of prison. Everybody was going wild on social media. Yes. They were doing the, "All you ladies,
yes,
ladies."
And then she opened up a TikTok.
Yes, yes.
Gypsy went all on socials.
No, she went
all on socials. Getting ahead.
You are getting ahead. You need to chill.
I will chill.
Daddy chill. Now, another few things that I want to mention, because she's been in the headlines since she's been released, is that while she was in prison, she also did get married to a man named Ryan Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Anderson, that's who you're talking about. Which is a whole nother damn story, my golly.
A whole nother story.
My golly, right? Because before I get into that story real quick. And so she's married. She's free from prison now. And so many people, again, mixed feelings out in the world. They are like, oh yeah, she deserves to be free. She served her time. She did what she was supposed to do. Now she should be able to live her life and move on. Other people are like, why are we idolizing a murderer? Why are we giving her a platform? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Again, the community is divided. But to each his own, what everybody believes and how they feel is fine. Everybody's got different opinions. Now, this case itself really inspired so many documentaries, podcast episodes, TikTok debates, Reddit deep dives. Like I said, go watch HBO's Mommy, Dead and Dearest. You can also watch Hulu's The Act. So well done. You can even find interviews, because she, Gypsy, also appeared in interviews with Dr. Phil, with 2020, The Today Show. And I think even The View had her on recently.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I could have sworn I saw her. And after her release, I mean, like you said, she got opened up social media. She posted her first, I mean, now she's got like millions of followers on TikTok and Instagram. She posted her first selfie, which I thought was like, wow, to prison. Also, what a culture shock. She's been in prison for so long. Yeah.
And everything's changed.
Way changed.
Just in 8 years.
In 8 years. Yeah, that's so true. They also even had hashtags on social called #FreeGypsy. So it was kind of like trending again, and everybody was kind of welcoming and home. But again, not all of it is positive, because some people even say, why are we going to celebrate a murder?
Yeah.
All that. So since her release, Gypsy has been taking steps forward to building a real life for herself. She's openly spoken about her past surgeries, her physical limitations, and her ongoing therapy. Now, she said that she still struggles with trusting people, with understanding relationships, and with grieving the mother that she loved, but also feared and was so scared of.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that process there. What? Do I sound like Miley Cyrus?
No, I was laughing about his shake.
I thought I sounded like Miley Cyrus.
You kind of do, actually.
Oh, thanks. What song should I sing? No. I'll do it at the end. She ended up saying, even now, I'll see something pink and get this weird feeling. It's not hate. It's just complicated.
Mm-hmm.
She's also been distancing herself from the spotlight somewhat. I only say somewhat because I'm going to talk a little bit more of all the shit that's been going on in her life afterwards. I'm like, girl, this is a drama series. This is insane.
It's a lot of stuff. I mean, she met Ryan, which he looks somewhat familiar.
Okay. Yes. It's been going around, right? And I remember when I first saw him, I was like, why does he look somewhat familiar? I didn't know what to place what on him. What he looks familiar about, doesn't he kind of look like her mom?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right? Which kind of plays in the whole trauma bonding thing.
Yeah.
Not saying anything wrong about it, but you know what I mean? He kind of was, his face kind of looks like her mom.
Wild.
Some people were saying about it, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that could maybe be it. I don't know. Maybe I could have met someone like that. I feel like I had a friend in high school that looked like he had the same facial features and everything, and the same hair color, and he was like that tall and everything. But the drama, the relationship drama to be exact, with her hubbies, her new hubbies that she married while they were in prison.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yes. When she walked out of prison, Gypsy reunited, obviously, with Ryan. If you watch the show, I think it's on Peacock, and it's Gypsy Life After Lockup, or I think I mentioned it earlier. Yes. They follow her journey leaving from prison to Ryan picking her up to everything that unfolds later. So it's kind of like her own reality TV show, essentially. And within months of her leaving prison, things kind of went south and Gypsy announced their separation publicly.
Yes.
On my birthday.
I remember that.
On my birthday last year. Yeah. But then here comes the twist that apparently she starts dating and reconnecting with her ex-fiance, Ken Urker. This guy, she was engaged with Ken while she was in prison and it didn't work out. Didn't fully go through. I think the reason why they broke up was it was like too much for him. There was with the media.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff.
There's a lot,
going
yes.
On.
Yeah. And so he kind of like distanced himself. So he stayed away from her. And in the show, she even talks about him messaging her and she talks about it to Ryan. And she's like, yeah, Ken texted me, wanted to, you know, see me or something. And he's like, well, too bad. Too bad, too late, literally like that. Yeah. And then she ends up leaving Ryan.
That's wild.
It's
literally a whole like 90 day fiance.
No, seriously.
90 day fiance in jail.
No, and they even have those shows. It's like Love After Lockup, actually.
Something.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do, because I've been wanting to watch it.
Of course you have.
Yeah. But she has stated that Ken had always been there with her through her to some of the darkest times in prison. So their reunion of getting back together kind of turned pretty fast when they were spotted together. They were sharing photos. They were going to events together and the internet was absolutely losing it because she's still married to Ryan. She's just separated and she moves back in with her dad because now she was living with Ryan because that's her husband, but she's separating. So now she's moving back with, her dad, which she has a great relationship with her dad. Her stepmom.
Yeah,
she
I think
calls.
I've seen some of the videos and stuff of them, and
reuniting.
And you can tell he's just very thankful
that she's
yeah.
And he's like, you know what? This is a new chapter. I just want to be with her. He just wants to enjoy his daughter. And
because also imagine being him through all of
this. And you finding that out.
Your ex-wife gets killed. That sucks.
That's horrible. Yeah.
Then you find out your daughter is part of that murder.
Who was terminally ill.
And you find out all the things you thought you knew about her that your ex-wife was telling you were all false.
False.
And all those years of you not getting to spend much time with your daughter, you
now
are
in prison.
Left 8 years that you have to more or less only get visitation hours.
Yeah.
To not really have that relationship with her or even learn who she really is as a person, which also during those 8 years... Gypsy is also probably trying to figure out who the fuck she is
as a
person.
Right, and that's in the show. He does like a brief. I mean, I just started watching the Life After Lockup, the Gypsy Rose one. But just in the first episode, he talks about, me and Gypsy have to talk. Like, we just have to talk a lot about so much.
Yeah.
Because they haven't
had
that.
You got how many years to catch up on?
Got to catch up. Now, some people online were calling it like this love triangle because... She was all about Ryan, then she wasn't about Ryan, now she's all about Ken. And then there was messages that she had sent Ryan while she was with Ken, and then it was kind of flip-flopping back and forth. Others were kind of... But a lot of other people, too, are seeing it as, like, you know, she's also just trying to figure out what the hell she wants, what she even likes. Her family, like her dad, her stepmom, she actually calls her mom, and she has a half-sister. So that's, like, her immediate family. Yeah. They have all stated that they'd wish that she could maybe, you know, slow down a little because everything's really quick. They want her to catch her footing.
Just live life.
Live life, yeah. But I also feel for her because she's 34?
I think you said 32.
32. Yeah, she was 32 years old. So she also, it's like...
She feels like she's probably got to catch the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean,
because everyone else her age is, you know?
Right, exactly. Now, Gypsy ends up filing for divorce on my birthday. Okay. On my birthday, she files
on
for
your
divorce.
Birthday.
Last year, she files for divorce. And less than 3 months after filing for divorce, Gypsy announced that she and her new boyfriend, Ken, were expecting their first baby together.
Mm-hmm. Whoop, whoop.
Yep. Now, Gypsy ends up giving birth to their baby on December 28th, which is kind of crazy because that's exactly 1 year after her prison release.
That is insane.
Yeah. And it was also crazy, too, because since she technically wasn't divorced, but she was separated... Something about, don't quote me on this, guys, but something about the state law was like, even if it wasn't Ryan's baby, because there was talk going around that's not Ryan's baby. That's Ryan's baby. That's not Ken's, because about close, she started dating Ken. Yeah. But I think I heard something along the lines that in the state that they were in, if it's not even his baby, doesn't matter. They're married, so he's responsible for it. I know they had to get a paternity test or something, and it did show that it was Ken's baby. But Ryan be going on fucking TikTok lives. He blasts Gypsy. Like, they go back and forth with each other. Not so much anymore, but before, when it was first,
I mean, he's kind of become irrelevant now.
Right, right. And he's also hurting because...
Yeah.
I don't even imagine how he's feeling, too. Yeah. But in the show, when you see him, I don't know. It's just go watch it, people, please. Now, then there's Nick, right? Because he's serving life in prison. And a lot of people kind of forgot about him. And they're like, well...
They forgot that he was part of this whole thing.
He's just another piece of the story, and he's going to spend life in prison. But so many people are still... I don't think I've seen anything that's surfaced about anything else going on with Nick Go to John, if there's anything further in his case or his or any other trials or appeals or whatever. But so far he's in prison. He has done some interviews with news medias and stuff as well, so you can see. And he even states, he's like, I really believe that it was going to be me and Gypsy till the end. Like, I really thought that. So it's just really what it is, because I think no matter what, her story is always going to be messy. It's always going to be complicated, and people are going to...
There's always going to be two sides of it.
Yeah, there's going to be two
people that are going to be flipped on.
Right, right. Know. And in Gypsy's own words, she says, I'm not proud of what I did, but I am proud of who I'm becoming. Now, I did see an E! News article, Gypsy stated, when I accepted my sentence, I accepted the weight of my choices. I served my time. That was my accountability, and I've carried it for years. I don't owe the past anything more. As for Nicholas Godejohn, yes, he is a deeply disturbed man, which a lot of people were upset about that, because they're like, what about you? You're also disturbed, which I get that. She continues saying, but he also knew the difference between right and wrong. Regardless of my role or of unintentional manipulation, this type of manipulation isn't rooted in malice. It's often a reflection of past trauma, fear of abandonment, or a lack of emotional tools. The key difference is intent. She also emphasized, and she said, not trying to deceive anyone. However, she recognizes that her actions still affect others and require self-awareness and growth to correct. She continues saying, Nicholas made the decision to move forward with that night, she wrote. That was a choice, and he is not exempt from the consequences of that choice. His diagnosis of autism and Asperger's, because I think they also, that was something recent too, maybe the last couple of years, does not excuse what he did. Mental health is complex, but accountability matters, and no one is above the law. She continues saying, Nicholas's fate was decided by a panel of judges, prosecutors, lawyers, and 12 jury members who reviewed the same evidence circulating online.
Damn.
So that's where I'm gonna leave it. Adult
response.
I know, and I think it doesn't matter that she's never going to be able to appease anybody.
No,
she's a murderer. I mean, she was complicit of that. She did She also has to live with that. She also did serve her time. I get it. I totally get both sides.
Yeah,
it's complicated. Did you learn a lot more this time than when you sneakily watched the show while I was watching it?
There was definitely some random details that I thought, oh, didn't really know about that, or. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
Also, did not know that they were impacted by Hurricane Katrina,
right,
and that was actually kind of the start of the whole story. You know?
Right, right, right. Because they ended up moving to Missouri.
Yeah.
And that kind of is what
very interesting.
Them.
Very sad.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
What a yuppie. It's your boy. We're coming at you. Once again, we want to hear your stories. Whether it's strange, spooky, or sinister, we want you to send them our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or go to our website, macabremondays.com, to submit your story. Yours just might be featured on an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, my friends.
Deuces. Also, so sorry that we had to bring you guys through this part tour.
Yeah. Let me sing the Miley Cyrus song. Which one?
Okay. I can buy myself flowers.
I can buy myself flowers. I can walk in the sand. Talk to myself for hours. say things you don't understand. Bye.
See ya.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.